Good morning. Happy New Year. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. I love this time of year, and we've been having a blast. Actually, I have our good friends, the Wilsons, in town visiting from Omaha, and so just been continuing to party it up. So it's been a great start to the new year. But be honest, how you guys doing on those resolutions? Who's off the wagon already? Come on. Be honest. I got an email a few weeks ago from Melcher. It's not the kind of email you want to get. The subject line was, "You're fat and you know it," and it had a little pig emoji and a weight loss challenge. I know, seriously, that's not the kind of email you want to get or be on that list, but it's an effective tactic, because if you're like, "Nah, this shouldn't be me," it's like, oh, he doesn't know. He doesn't realize that we can see. So, yeah. I'm in. I'm all in, and it's game on. I'm going to win some money. I mean, get in shape, and so we're off to the races. But I actually do like, and I think it's good as Christians to take time in this season when we transition from one year to the next to take stock of our lives. And we do it differently, because resolutions are really about, like, just trying to resist the urge to consume sugar or whatever it might be. But Christian change is uniquely different, right? Christian change is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we know that God is going to continue to take us forward in faith, that he's going to make us a holy people, a set apart people for his glory. And so we have hope when we come into a new year. We have hope that God is going to continue to work. And so what is it that you're hopeful about as we enter 2019? Back in September, we began a sermon series in the Gospel of Matthew called The Cross and Crown, talking about the kingdom of God. And Matthew, more than any other of the Gospels, deals with this idea of the kingdom, this idea of Jesus' reign and rule and how that goes forward. And as a part of that series, we talked about kingdom cultures, that here at Southlands, we want to be a people that are growing in the culture of the kingdom. And so we put forward 8 kingdom cultures. Any of you guys remember these? Faithful presence, authentic family, biblical devotion, risky faith, bold witness, radical generosity, passionate reverence, and community servants. And so as we begin this year, I want to put these back before you, because we called you guys to, hey, choose one of these cultures that you're going to give yourself to and that you're going to grow in as we go through this series. And I again want to say, are you growing in the culture of the kingdom? Because as we looked at in Advent, the kingdom has come, it's breaking in, but it's not fully established. Our hearts long for the time when Jesus returns and he makes everything new and right as it should be. But until that point, we pray, hallowed Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But as the church, we get to partner. We get to partner with Jesus that his kingdom will come. And so I want to say, well done. Personally, I want to say thank you. I moved here in July. I'm a church planting resident here with Southlands. And you guys, the authentic family here is off the hook. We have felt so loved and so welcomed by you. And then I love getting to hear stories from, like, Melissa this morning about this neighbor in our neighborhood who came to a party and then gets invited back. And he's like, this is weird, like, the family here. And so I just, well done, church. And I want to say, keep going. Dream some dreams for 2019, because we got a big God. He's just getting started with this church. He's continuing to write the story for Southlands. And so I come into the year just full of expectation and hope for our church. I can't wait to see how God grows us as community servants, that we would continue to be a people that loves our city and our neighborhood well, that we would continue to see orphans welcomed in, to see foster care happen, to see the kids of inmates who are in incarceration be welcomed into Camp Agape. I can't wait to see us grow as community servants. I'm excited that as we've been focusing on our witness becoming more bold, that we would be a people that takes every opportunity to share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, that we'll see people welcomed into that kingdom. I'm personally praying that there would be an outpouring of college students being saved and coming into the community of faith this year. I'm excited. And I believe that today, as we enter into Matthew chapter 13, and we begin a two-week series looking at the parables of the kingdom from Matthew. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. And I believe that this passage is going to give us some key insight for this year and how we can continue to grow in our kingdom culture, that we can continue to see the kingdom of God break in new and exciting ways. All right, read with me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat behind the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is crazy. Can you imagine this? Jesus is staying in a neighborhood, in a community. As he rises, gets up for the day, and walks out onto the street, there's already people milling around. They've heard that Jesus is in town, and they want to see, they want to hear this great teacher. They want to see this guy who is actually healing people, that he's working miracles in their day. And so they follow him as he begins to walk down towards the sea. And a crowd just gathers around, and it's so crazy. There's so many people pressing in who just want to see, who want to know, who want to hear Jesus. He's actually like, this is not working. And he gets onto a boat, and he backs up just so he can have a little space, and he begins to preach. And Jesus has got some mad alliteration. He drops three S's. He talks about a sower, a seed, and number three is the soil. And Jesus is the ultimate sower. He's the one spreading the good news of the kingdom. The seed is this good news. It's the word of God as he teaches about the kingdom. And the soil is actually the hearts of man. It's where does this good news, this truth about who God is and what he's doing, how does it land on men? How do they receive it? And I don't have great alliteration this morning, so point one, Jesus used parables to reveal the mystery of his kingdom. And picking up in verse 10, it says this, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The thing that was so surprising was the way in which Jesus brought the kingdom. Remember the context of the time. Israel was under Roman rule and oppression. And so when they looked for a king, the king that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, what they were expecting was a liberator, someone who would come and kill their enemies, that would bring them a physical freedom. A king who would establish a new kingdom where they would be the ones on top. They expected a revolution, and revolutions only come with violence, like a boulder crushing. We see this in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, as Daniel comes to King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream, and he's not really trusting his wise men anymore. So he's like, no, you're not just going to tell me the meaning of the dream. You're going to tell me what I dreamed as well. And so Daniel comes in, and he prays, and he asks God for wisdom. And God gives him the dream and the meaning of the dream. And I won't go into all of that this morning, but what we see is that there's like four kingdoms and then a new kingdom that comes and it crushes. It's a warning of judgment to King Nebuchadnezzar, that God is going to establish his kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it says, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So it's understandable that the people of God are waiting for a king that will come and dismantle other kingdoms. But it doesn't come like that. As Jesus brings the kingdom, he doesn't come crushing the authority of the day. What they're expecting is Alexander the Great to come into town. They're expecting any rebellion to be challenged, like Nero handled his rebellion, and he would kill and he would destroy. But Jesus comes not like that. He comes spreading the seed of the kingdom. He comes teaching, telling stories. And so John comes. You remember when John comes and he says, "Hey, are you the one? Or should we look for someone else?" I don't think that John is having a crisis of faith here. I think his expectation of how the kingdom would come is not being realized. And so he says, "Hey, what's going on? This isn't the way that I thought it would be." See, the kingdom is mysterious. It's mysterious in how it comes. And so Jesus tells parables to reveal the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom is that judgment tarries. Jesus doesn't come crushing like a boulder, but he says the blind receive sight. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Now, I'm not coming crushing the kingdom of man. Rather, I'm pushing back the kingdom of darkness. I'm pushing back Satan's rule and his reign, and I'm bringing spiritual liberation. I'm drawing men to myself, and I'm offering the gift of salvation. It's a seed being tossed to the ground. Secondly, it's a mystery that citizenship in the kingdom isn't forced. See, the kingdom is here, but it's not evasive. It's not all-consuming. It's not forcing its way. It's not yet abolishing sin or removing its existence. Men can reject the kingdom of God. This is crazy that you can reject the kingdom of God. You didn't reject Nero. You didn't reject Alexander the Great, but you can reject the King of the Universe. Jesus' parables were an announcement that the kingdom of God is here, but it doesn't come enforced. It's a seed being cast to the ground. It advances by taking root in men's hearts. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual one. It comes through the preaching and the hearing of the word, and true hearing is a heart that understands and obeys. Thirdly, the mystery of the kingdom is that it's a miracle of grace that is received in faith. Do you see how this is a miracle for us? If the kingdom of God came as a stone crushing the rebellious, we would be those who are crushed. We're the rebellious. We're the ones that stand apart from a holy God. Every single one of us has bucked his authority, his reign, his rule that he wants to have in our lives. We have tried to be our own kings. But in this great reversal, the King of the Universe comes and he lays himself down on a cross. He's buried in the ground. And he's covered by the boulder of the kingdom of man in death for us. And so judgment not only tarries for the church, but judgment has come and it's already been dealt in full, and it was on Jesus. And he raises, he bears fruit in the power of the resurrection, and he offers us that this morning. It's a miracle of grace. It's a mystery and it's wonderful. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Fourth and finally, it's a mystery that the kingdom continues to gain ground through us. It's crazy. You guys get to know me. This is the thing that just blows my mind. See, it's one thing that Jesus, the King of the universe, came and gave his life for me to welcome me into the kingdom of God. It's next level that then he says, I want to use you. I want to give you my power, my authority. You can now partner with me in spreading the seed of the kingdom. Isn't that incredible? Nothing gets me more excited than that. That God would consider it good to save and to use us. Southlands, come on. We were once rebellious, and now we get to help push back the kingdom of darkness. Come on, Jim, that's what I'm talking about. Give me some love. But I know some of you are still wondering about the back half of verse 11, right? To you, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them, it hasn't. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What about those who haven't been given the secrets of the kingdom? Or what little they had has been removed? And I would just gently suggest this morning that maybe that's not the right question. That we shouldn't ask, who gets the secrets and who doesn't? Or how do I really know that I'm one who has received the secrets? Rather, I think the question that we need to ask this morning is, what am I doing with the good news that I've received? What am I doing with the preached word right in front of me this morning that's being cast to the ground? Am I receiving it? Am I taking the secrets that I have, the good news that I have, and am I partnering with the kingdom of Jesus to spread that seed? Am I proclaiming the name of Jesus? Am I trusting him at his word that he says, I'm still calling men and women to myself. I'm still pushing back the kingdom of darkness, and I'm welcoming people into the life that I offer. And so the question to ask is, what are we doing with the secrets that we have? Because listen, it's a mystery that is no longer hidden. What was once kept secret has now been revealed in the spiritual liberation that Jesus offers through the work of his cross. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, judgment is continuing to tarry. Don't get me wrong, one day God will bring judgment. He will establish his kingdom in full, and he will crush fully the kingdom of man and the kingdom of Satan. But now he tarries. And 2 Corinthians says that the aroma of Christ is death. It's a fragrance of death to some, but to some it's a fragrance of life. And so we need to spread that aroma. We get to partner. We get to see this miracle of grace gain ground. And it will go forward. The gates of hell will not prevail, but the kingdom of heaven will take root and it will grow. See, Jesus used parables to reveal the mystery of the kingdom. Point number two, Jesus used parables to test the state of the heart. Pick up with me in verse 13. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. See, in this passage, we see both a warning and an offer. The warning is a question that's saying, is your heart growing dull? Because if your heart's growing dull, you'll lose the kingdom of God. You'll miss the kingdom of God. Jesus is pronouncing a warning of judgment over the Pharisees. He says, you guys, you religious elite, the pastors of the day, you're missing it. You're actually fulfilling this warning that Isaiah said that they'll see, but they'll never perceive. Your hearts are dull, and so you're missing me and my message. And so Jesus warns, are your hearts dull? And so I ask you, what is the state of your heart this morning? Sing some amazing songs this morning. I loved our worship. And so much of it was our anthem that our hearts adore. And so does your heart adore this morning? Does it adore? You've all heard the expression, it's like riding a bike, right? A couple years ago, I had a mountain bike. I enjoy some biking, and my bike got stolen. And so I actually went a couple years without riding at all. And then right before I moved out here this summer, I picked up a new mountain bike. And so I've loved getting out and being on the Fullerton Loop. I mean, I'm no Sean Gorham. I don't do 50 miles in a morning. I die at 10 as he pedals away. But it's fun. I enjoy it. But here's the thing, Christianity does not apply to this expression. It doesn't apply to it's like riding a bike. For me, it's more like me and piano. And what you need to know is that I am musically challenged. The reason I come to a church where we turn up the worship loud is so I can stand down front and I can't hear myself sing. That's the only way I'll keep singing. And when I was a kid, my mom made me take piano lessons. She had been a pianist in our church for like 30 years, and so she made me take piano lessons. And I did it for like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, and eventually she went to my piano teacher, and she kind of apologetically said, we're not going to have him continue anymore. You know, assuming that this would be a real shot for my teacher who's worked so hard to see me develop. And my teacher just said, oh, yeah, you went way beyond the call of duty with that one. It's hurtful. And as a result, I cannot play chopsticks to save my life today. I don't have it. I quit practicing and it is gone. I do not have a knack for piano. I don't have a knack for music at all. But I want to be honest with you this morning. You do not have a knack for the Christian life. You don't have a knack for it. It's use it or lose it, right? Use this message of the kingdom that you've received and continue to cultivate it and let it grow in you, or you can harden your heart against it and you'll lose it. We don't have a knack for it. See, I love Paul's metaphors for the Christian life in Scripture. I like Paul. I know some people struggle because he's kind of intense. So shocker that I enjoy him, I know. But he's got all these active metaphors like farming, tilling and cultivating the soil, or war. You put sin to death and you put righteousness on. He even talks about boxing. He's like, I box not as one just beating the air undisciplined, but I buffet my body and I train and I run the race. And then just for a little balance, he's even got... he's got some clothing and accessories metaphors. You take on off darkness and you put on righteousness. Just keep a little balance for you guys. I love Paul. And see, I receive emails that suggest maybe I need to, you know, lose some weight. Yes, I wore all black today to compensate, just saying. And, you know, I discovered Sidecar since I've been here, and so I love sugar, so the struggle is real. But I ask you this morning, what is your spiritual sugar? See, what's the thing that is sidetracking you from the kingdom of God? What is the sugar that you're running after in this new year? Is it actually sugar, maybe? For me, it can be. Maybe it's a job or a career or a relationship, sex, alcohol. What is the thing that you're looking to numb to bring happiness when you could be cultivating the seed that's been sown? Have you eased up at all in your pursuit of Jesus? Because listen, bad news is your resolutions aren't going to save you this year. You know, you can look back at 2018 and how you worked out every other day, and you can look forward to summer 2019 when you finally got that elusive six-pack, but it won't satisfy. So only the kingdom of God, only Jesus himself will satisfy the longings of your heart. But the offer of grace still exists. Jesus says in verse 15, turn and I will heal you. See, the Pharisees still have this opportunity. Even as he gives a warning of judgment, he says, if they would turn, I would heal them. And he turns to his disciples who are following him, not perfectly, not well most of the time, but they're following. And he says, blessed are you, for you have heard. See, he gives us the parable to help us assess the state of our heart. And in verses 18 to 23, Jesus gives us the explanation for the parable, and we see four types of hearts represented here. Let's go through these. A hard heart, in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. So the hard soil is the unresponsive heart. It receives the message and it could care less. It does nothing with it. And so I would say, if you are here this morning, you're honest and you're like, I have a hard heart. I just don't care. I'm not even sure why I came today. I invite you to receive prayer this morning. Because that's the only thing that's going to break in and change. If you have friends or family or coworkers and you're like, they have a hard heart, here's my encouragement to you. Pray and sow. Pray and sow. Pray and sow. That's the only thing that is going to turn a hard heart soft again. Verse 20, we see a shallow heart. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So this person who seems so open and responsive to the gospel, they welcome it in, they take it in, and you see this quick spurt of growth, but then it just dies away. Reminds me of when I first became a youth pastor, and I was working with this junior high youth group. And we had this partnership with other churches in our city, and, well, city is a small town in Nebraska of like 3,000 people. And that's generous, all right? A couple stoplights. And we brought in the power team. You guys remember the power team? Did you ever see these guys? You grew up in like 80s and 90s Christianity. Love these dudes because they're passionate about Jesus, and they take their passions of lifting and being meatheads, and they do feats of strength, like break ice and tear phone books in half and break bats. And then they, you know, tell about Jesus and how he's the strength of their life. And my junior high kids are just eating this up. And what was crazy is all year, I had been working with these kids, telling them, listen, receiving Jesus isn't just a prayer and you're good. It's not fire insurance. All year, I'd been saying, listen, an invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation to come and die. It's to give up your life and your control and allow him to be Lord. And I'm not down on the power team. I love their message. But over the course of that week, I think 1,000 people went forward and gave their life to Christ. Now listen, if 1,000 people get saved in a town of 3,000, the kingdom of heaven has broke in. But do you think anything actually changed in my city? Do you think it looks dynamically different today than it did 10 years ago? No. Because seed was cast and there was a response. But no one made Jesus the Lord of their lives. It was a shallow heart. Third is a divided heart. Verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. It's a heart that's divided. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You're going to hate one of them. See, Jesus was brilliant at helping people assess the state of their heart. The rich young ruler comes to him and he says, I've kept all the law. I'm in, right? I'm good. And Jesus just discerns that his heart's divided, and he says, do this. Go and sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. And it says this young ruler walks away just broken and disheartened. See, his heart was divided, and Jesus put his finger on it. And if you will, will you let Jesus just put his finger on your heart this morning? If I'm honest, a divided heart, this is the one that I struggle with, right? Because listen, I can go through the motions. I can do good stuff. I can play the pastor guy. But if I'm honest, like, I want to win. I want to achieve. It's so easy for my heart to get twisted, and I can do the right things with the wrong motives. And so Jesus invites me constantly, will you repent for actually just building your own kingdom in my name? Will you get back to the work of building my kingdom? Will your heart adore me? And then finally, a productive heart. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. This is the heart we want, right? This heart, we want a heart that is productive, a heart that receives the word of the kingdom and cultivates it and grows and sees it bear fruit in our lives. And so what's the soil that most represents your heart this morning? Where's your heart at, Southlands, as we enter 2019? If you're there, this can be a hard message, right? It can be weighty. Because if we're honest, we all struggle. We're like, man, I don't know that my heart's a productive heart. It feels like one of these other hearts. And can I just encourage you with the words of one of my favorite hymns, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Church, this is my prayer all the time. I'm like, Lord, I'm prone to leave. I'm prone to bail on this thing. Please, would you bind my wandering heart to thee? Holy Spirit, would you do a work? That's invitation is, there's a warning, but there's this offer of grace. He says, turn and I'll heal you. So would you turn? Would you be healed this morning? And as I want to land in application, though. I want to land practically. So point three is the parable of the sower gives us a vision for a well-kept heart. Dallas Willard says that those with a well-kept heart are persons who are prepared for and capable of responding to the situations of life in ways that are good and right. So a well-kept heart is a heart that can actually do the right thing in the situations of life that come along. And so we need to be a church this year that constantly cultivates our hearts, constantly turns our hearts back towards Jesus. And I believe right here in this parable, Jesus gives us some real practical ways that we can keep a well-kept heart. We read verse 23 again. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. See, a heart that is well kept seeks, receives, and obeys. A heart that's well kept seeks, receives, and obeys. It seeks out the word. It seeks out the good news of the kingdom. And so when we talk about kingdom cultures, one of the things that I want to continue to call us to as a church is faithful presence. Will you be here on Sunday mornings in 2019? Would you gather with God's people so that you can sit under the seed being cast? Because that's what will produce a rich harvest in you. Will you be faithful in life group or with your CBR Bible reading group? Will you be faithful to put yourself in situations where you can receive the word of God as it's cast? And then will you receive it? He said, not everyone hears and understands. It's only some, it's those with a soft heart that hear the word and actually perceive what it means. They actually receive it. They take it on and they apply it. See, I find this culture in 21st century Christianity that is becoming more and more like the world, where we hear the word of truth and we say, like, yeah, it's a truth. I'll maybe throw it in there with the rest of the truth I have. And we kind of make it like this optional thing that we can obey or not. But we say, no, a heart that receives, a heart that is a productive heart, when it hears the word of God, it says yes. And this is the thing that I most want to call us to in 2019 as a community, is that we would develop a yes reflex. That we would discipline our bodies in the same way an athlete, either a great fighter like Paul talks about, or Steph Curry, NBA superstar, they've practiced over and over again. They've trained their muscles to have just muscle memory. So then when they get in the situation, the game's on the line, or they're in the fight of their lives, they're able to do the right thing and execute at the right time, because they've trained their lives to do the right thing. And so would you say yes with the little things? Would you say yes when you feel the Spirit of God prompting you? So often I'm sitting with people and I'm actually blown away that they'll be like, yeah, God spoke to me this morning. Here's what he said. And I'm like, okay, so what's that going to look like? I'm not sure. I'm like, what? You heard from God? Say yes to it. He's for your good. He wants to bless you. Blessed are those who hear. And so would we be a people that obeys? I'm going to close with this quote again from Dallas Willard. The heart is precisely what God observes and addresses in human beings. He cares little or nothing for outward show. He responds to the heart because it is, above all, who we are, who we choose and have chosen to be. What God wants for us can only come from there. He respects the centrality of our will and will not override it. He seeks godly character in us and for us to fulfill the eternal destiny he has in mind for us. But on the other hand, he is sensitive to the slightest move of the heart towards him. Southlands, would you move towards him this morning? Would you cultivate your hearts to adore Jesus afresh? Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have received your good news, that we have received the truth of the kingdom. God, we want to be a fruitful and productive people. We want to see you do more. You promise that to want the one who has more will be given, that they will have an abundance. God, we ask you for an abundance of your blessing this year. Would you be good and would you be kind to our church? Would your mission go forward? Will we see more and more people enter the kingdom of God because of the ministry of this church? Jesus, we worship you. We give you all glory this morning. You are our King. Amen. We're going to move now to a time of communion. And I love taking communion with you all every week. It's a time when we actively respond to the seed that's been cast. And so as we come and we take the bread that represents Jesus' body broken for us, as we drink the juice that represents his blood shed for us, I ask you to just talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Spirit, how would you want me to respond this morning? Because my guess is some of you need to respond in brokenness. You need to become broken because you're a heart that is hard and has wandered. And so I would ask you, would you come and get communion and then go to the prayer team on the sides and ask them to pray over you, that your heart would soften, and then take the communion. Some of you need to come just committing. You need to come saying, I claim the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Jesus, would you continue to change me? And here's how I'm going to change this year. Here's what I'm trusting you for.
And then others of you, I would encourage some of you just need to come celebrate this morning. You're blessed. 2018 was a year of abundance and fruitfulness for you. And would you just come and worship and enjoy God's blessing on you? But church, come. Come and receive.